Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
The first question I have for you besides welcome, glad to have you with us today. What a wonderful group of people. The second thing I guess I want to ask is what happened to our warm weather?
Okay.
Is it not, are we getting close? I mean, it's going to be like in St. Louis, July and 32 degrees in the morning. What is up? How many people, I'm just waiting for the spring and the summer. How many people join? You know what I mean? I'm done with the cold. I like snow like anybody else, but at Christmas time, once we get to January, the cold, the snow, everything else is, I'm enduring it until the season changes. I think sometimes in our Christian life, we live that. We endure the tensions of life waiting for them to change. We endure the challenges of life. When Goliath was shouting, mocking, taunting Israel, the people of Israel were hiding, enduring the season, the situation, hoping somebody would fix it. And I think in a Christian life, a lot of times we'll do that even with the context of prayer. And it's almost like a spiritual cop-out. We'll just say a simple prayer and then we'll leave it all in God's hands. And when he wants it to be different, he'll eventually make it different. I guess God would, if he wanted my life to be better, he'll make it better. If he wants me to be happy, if he wants my marriage to flourish, if he wants my career to take off, if he wants me to do well in life, it'll happen. And I'll just endure through this tough season waiting for the new season to show up. But when we wait for the new season, a lot of times it takes a long time. And sometimes it doesn't ever show up. And so when then we begin to, the human nature, and this happens in the church world a lot, then we begin to redefine the Word of God based on our seasons. Then we'll begin to reinterpret what God says in his Word based on our past experiences. Well, God doesn't want everybody to be that way. God doesn't do that anymore. He used to. Oh, that was only in the early church, the book of Acts. God doesn't work like that anymore. Where do those mindsets and ideas come from? It came from someone who it didn't work the way they thought it should work. And as a result, what they did is they began to redefine the Word of God and say, you know what? Maybe God doesn't do that anymore because I'll feel more comfortable in the season I'm in.
All right. All right.
If I can just justify this is where God wants me to stay. Well, we need to be content. Paul says in every season, be content, but it doesn't mean stay there.
Right.
I think our contentment is realizing that our source is from God and not man.
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen?
And to begin to realize and look to say, wait a minute, I might be in a difficult season. And if you are in a difficult season in any area of your life, let me be the first to say, welcome to life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we be honest with ourselves? Can we be real with each other? I know we dress up and put on a smile and talk the talk when we walk in the doors and tell everybody we've got it figured out. But on the flip side of Sunday, when we're dealing with the problems of Monday, the reality is in life we deal with trials and tribulations. Jesus said it. In this world, in this life, you'll have challenges. But he didn't leave us there. He said, many of you know this. He said what? Be of good cheer. Well, that's good for him to say, but not when you're in it. Have you ever noticed when you're in it, you could be all hyped on Sunday morning. You can leave a Bible study, a prayer meeting, a Sunday service, and you are like flying on cloud nine. Anybody else with me? And you felt the anointing of God. You felt the presence of God. You felt the Word of God. And you are flying high. You are like, I am more than a conqueror. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Watch out, devil. I'm looking for you. Because what I bind on earth is bound. We leave all charged up. And somehow between when we're charged up and leaving and the next problem we deal with. Talk about a paradigm shift. That's a tactic of the enemy. Because he's challenging the word to see if you really believe it. And so you never have to feel bad when you're challenged. You don't have to feel bad when you're tempted. You don't have to feel bad when you're dealing with a giant.
Right.
Oh, I can't tell nobody because they all got it together. Let me help you out. Nobody's got it all together.
Right.
Even the celebrities with all the money that's on the TV and everybody, it's a household name. They don't all have it together.
That's true.
It's life. You deal with challenges.
Yep.
I mean, the people are struggling. They're trying to get there. You think, oh, if I could only get there, I'll be happy. No, those people are struggling to keep what they got. But you got to learn to rise above the struggle and enjoy the freedom that God has for you. Because you can deal with the challenge and not be overwhelmed by the challenge. You can fight in the battle and not be shaken on the inside. You can be in the boat in the midst of the storm but not have the storm on the inside and come out of every situation victoriously. Can I get an amen? And so my starting point is that if we are waiting for God, how many times is God waiting for us?
Right.
I'm just going to stay here, and I'm just going to float in my easy floating chair in my pool and enjoy myself. Well, you're not going to stay there. You end up floating backwards,
yep,
not realizing. Well, I'll just wait for somebody to build me up. They might not show up.
Right.
I'm going to wait for somebody to help me. They might not come. I'm going to wait for God to change everything like a calendar. Eventually, the season will change. And some of us have been in challenging seasons in different areas of our lives for decades,
yep,
waiting. Maybe it's okay to say, all right, God, you're God, I'm not. You know everything, I don't. Ephesians 1, open my eyes,
yeah,
so that I can see what I need to see and know what I need to know, so I can do what I need to do. Because Proverbs 4 tells us that I sure like you all, by the way. I just thought I'd throw that in there. I just like you all. Proverbs 4 says the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter until the completed day. So that tells me wherever, whatever season you're in, good or bad, there's a better season ahead of you. There's a next level ahead of you. Say there's a next level. Come on, say there's a better season. That doesn't mean, again, that you're in a bad season. You might be going through a challenging season in some area, but don't stay there. Let's keep moving.
Amen.
So I'm going through hell. Well, don't camp out there. Let's get moving.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right.
Though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, keep walking.
Yeah.
David didn't say, well, I camp up, set up a tent, and put a new address change.
Right.
No, keep walking. So I'm going to keep walking.
Keep walking.
1 Peter 2, verse 2, was the verse we were ending with last Sunday. We'll just jump right in there. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Notice this. 2 Peter 2:2 in New Living says that you may grow into a full experience of salvation. As newborn babies, so the metaphor is as you're a baby Christian, grow. We need to grow. When you get saved, that's not the end, that's the beginning.
Amen.
Did you hear me? One of the challenges in the church world is when we miscommunicate or misunderstand the difference between the front door and the completed door. We'll think that things are, oh, it's done. We'll start. No, it's just the beginning. You're saved. You're going to heaven. Praise God. But now we're going to walk this thing out. God wants you to grow. Say, God wants me to grow. I mean, it is one thing. It'll hinder you in growth when you think that if you hit a certain level, you stop growing. Even the baptism of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. And I believe in that. It's a powerful gift. Some people make it weird. It doesn't have to be weird.
Right.
Well, I don't understand it. You don't understand the virgin birth. That's welcome to the party.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't understand a God who's always existed and knows everything, right?
Right?
But in some circles, it's like if you get the baptism, then you've arrived. No, you just started.
Yeah.
It's not the end. It's the beginning. It's a tool to take you to a deeper level with God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get a better amen?
Amen?
As newborn babes, God wants us to grow. He doesn't want you to stay.
Right.
If I'm still dealing with the same giant from last year, the same hang-up, the same hiccup, the same problem, the same addiction, the same thing that I've had for years, something's wrong. I should be growing. There should be some progress. I should be able to look back and say, that's where I used to be, and this is where I'm at.
Yeah.
And I might not be totally happy about where I'm at today, but at least I'm not where I used to be because I got progress. Don't get upset if you're not perfect. Nobody's perfect, but get upset if you haven't seen any progress. Something's wrong with the system. Something's wrong. We need to be growing. Say, I should be growing.
I should be growing.
Notice here that you grow. How? As a baby desires milk, nourishment, desire the milk of the word. This just doesn't mean read the Bible, and that's part of it. But when you're reading the Bible, have a desire for what's in the word.
Right.
Jesus said, in this quick review, Jesus said that my words, that they are spirit and they are life. When you read the Bible, you need to go, you need to start it out every time with prayer. Father, open my eyes. Anoint this word, anoint this time so that I can receive the life, that I can receive the presence of God, your anointing. Because it's the Holy Spirit that makes that word come alive. The Bible says it. Now, I'll give you some scriptures on the screen. Some I'll give you reference. Some I'll say in passing. I do that on purpose. Why? Because I want you to grow. I want to either get you curious enough or angry enough that you're going to go home and prove me wrong. And in the proving wrong, you'll get into the Word. And in the getting of the Word, you're going to grow.
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen?
But that's why the Bible says that the law without the Spirit brings death. So there's a lot of people who know the Word by mental information. But there's no life. There's no life. And they still live in death. Still same sins, same addiction, same bondage, same attitude, same hangups, same hiccups, same problem, no change. Why? Because they know information but no revelation. There's no life. When they read the Bible, they think that it's a legal book or historical book or a book that they can use to debate and argue other people of other beliefs. And they lose out that it's not a tool or a bat to beat people. It's the life of God. It's the bread from heaven. For Jesus is the Word, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh. When you read the Word, you need to know that you're eating the bread of heaven. You're feasting what God has for you.
Amen.
Now, that might not make sense, but I know one thing that I learned on the natural that always parallels and connects science. Listen to me, my friend. Science is not ahead of the Bible.
Right.
Science is still trying to catch up with the Bible.
Yep.
People that think that the science is ahead of the Bible don't know the Bible or don't know science.
That's right.
And I love that stuff. I'll talk about subatomic. I'll talk about Higgs boson. I love all that stuff. And I'm telling you that science is catching up with the Bible.
Yep.
Medical field is catching up with the Bible. God already knew it. He designed it all.
Right.
When my daughter, who's now 16, when she was born 10 weeks early. So we spent the first 5 weeks in the NICU. And one of the things that we learned during that process, and I've shared the story before, one of the things that we learned through that process is that they would have Kim, my wife, hold Logan when she was a baby. They called it kangarooing. Maybe you've heard of this. And we're like, why do you do that? Because they said when the mother is holding the baby and they are making contact skin to skin, the Kim's body, catch this, the Kim's body, this is a, don't tell me that we just crawled out as a tadpole. Who are you kidding? These are doctors and nurses telling me that her body, the mother's body, will begin to detect what is missing in Logan's body.
Right.
And will put what she needs in the milk.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So when she nurses the baby's just not getting milk. The baby's getting the milk that it's designed for that moment.
Right.
Stay with me. Do you see that? It's just not something you put powder in, and I'm not against that. Powder, mix it up. No, that might be good nutrition, but that might be nutrition that's not necessary at the moment.
Right.
So the way God creates it, out of intimacy, out of connection, when you spend time in that word, He has a way of making what you need in that moment come alive to your spirit. There is life. There is anointing. There is truth. It's the God kind of, the Zoe, the God kind of life. My words, they are spirit and they are life. That's amazing to me. And we've all been there. You're reading and all of a sudden it comes alive. I've had scriptures come alive and I didn't know I needed it yet. Oh, that's fun. Well, that's a good verse. Lord, you're making it alive to my spirit. And I'm studying and I'm meditating. I don't know why. And later that day. Say later that day. Oh, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will reveal things before they even happen. You can get, when you're walking with the Lord, you don't have to have it all figured out. You can get the smartest people in the room and they can't figure out what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah.
Come on, I like time travel movies. You ever watch any of these?
Yeah.
It's like, man, I'd like to go back. I'd like to go back in time and buy certain stocks. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Set my future self up with some wisdom from the... Go to my younger self and said, don't even ask, just buy these, sell them here. Why? Shut up and just do it, because I'm ahead of you and I know what's going to come. Now, I don't think Jesus would tell us shut up, but I think he shows up and says, listen, I'm ahead of you and I want to give you some information before you need it, because I want you to know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you will condemn it. And so you'll spend time in the Word, drawing life from it.
Yeah.
How long do I pray? How long do I read the Word? You need to read it till you've experienced God, that you've drawn life out of that Word. Well, I've read 7 chapters. Well, read 8. Why, are you ready? Read 9. How long do I go? Until you experience what you need from heaven.
Amen.
And you'll know when all of a sudden that life, it comes alive to you. You're ready. Some of us have dealt with problems that have taken years because we didn't know the answer in the moment the question was asked.
Yeah.
You know you have, because we've all said that. If I only knew then, would I?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Isn't that amazing? I've had the Lord give me verses that I'm like, I don't need this. And it wasn't even for me. It was for somebody else. And later on the phone call, I'll get in a conversation with somebody and they'll start telling me what they're needing prayer. And it right there, I'll say, well, listen, let me give you a verse.
Amen.
Your Heavenly Father loves you so much.
Amen.
You serve a good God.
Yes.
You serve a gracious God.
Amen.
But He, because He's given you this thing called the choice and will never force feed you.
That's right.
But when you begin to, that's why the Bible says even by the Spirit of God, we can cry out, Abba Father, which means Daddy God, which means you don't even have to approach Him with protocol. Hallelujah.
Right.
You don't have to be proper. Religion, and I'm not into religion. I define that as man's rules to get to God. I'm into a real relationship. Because you might not say it all right, but God looks to the heart. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to follow protocol. You just have to have a heart that says, I want you and I want to know you.
Yeah.
Amen? And as you read the Word, draw that life. Draw that life so that you can grow. Say, God wants me to grow.
God wants me to grow.
Come on, shout, God wants me to grow. Again, the New Living says that you can grow into a full experience of salvation.
Yeah.
Think about that, Rob. That is amazing. God wants you to grow into a full experience,
yes,
of salvation. See, when you pray, Romans 10, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you pray, you get saved, but you are a three-part person,
yeah,
on this side of eternity. Your spirit is saved. Your mind has to be transformed. Romans 12, and your body has to be transfigured, because what you were purchased by the blood of Jesus encompasses all of you.
Yeah.
So when people tell you, well, God doesn't care about that, you better think again. He paid for all of you.
Amen.
He cares about your health. He cares about your finances. He cares about your peace of mind. He cares about your thought. He wants you to be in peace. Why? Because He purchased the price. He paid the price. He's got the receipt. Have you ever bought something? Maybe you've gone through a drive-through line and you ordered it and you paid for it, and when you got there and you opened the bag, it wasn't all there? What do you do? Something, you'll go back. It might be French fries, but you'll go back. You're gonna leave the rest of it. You're gonna go back. It's like the 9 looking for the 1. You don't care about the rest of the food. So you don't have to worry about that Chick-fil-A. They get it right every time. But the rest of the stores, you got. What do you do? You walk in and say, I didn't get my food. They don't know you from Adam. I didn't get my food. And they're like, here's my bag. Here, and I didn't get everything. Here's the receipt. Why? Because you have a receipt that shows what you paid for. See, will you understand that your salvation is a covenant? It's a contract. It is a purchase transaction. When you are redeemed by the blood, that means purchase, bought back. So if you've done a transaction, you should get a receipt. And when you have a receipt, if it's not lined up, you can go back and say, wait a minute, something's wrong. I didn't order this.
Right.
And here's the things that are on the receipt. Here's what Jesus paid for.
Yeah.
See, I could send my daughter in and said, my dad bought this and we didn't get it.
Yeah.
My Heavenly Father purchased this and I don't have it. I have a receipt.
That's right. That's right.
You say, well, why don't I have it? Because there's some things you have to grow in.
Right.
Hebrews 6:12. Through faith and patience, you inherit the promises of God. Hebrews 11, verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, and obtained promises.
Yeah.
So God doesn't want you to grow just to say, wow, you're doing good. He wants you to grow so you can begin to experience all that he has for you. Come on, church. What he purchased for you on the cross of Calvary, he wants you to experience it. Now, you can wait, and we say this on many occasions, you can wait till you get to heaven before you experience all that belongs to you. But Jesus said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means if it's in the kingdom of heaven, when I get to heaven, I can pray that the Father gives it to me on this side of eternity. If there's no sickness in heaven, then I don't have to tolerate it. I can fight it. It don't mean that you won't fight it if you believe it. It means you're going to have to stand it and fight it by faith. It's a fight of faith. And it's not always easy. That's why Hebrews 4 tells us to labor, to strive, to enter into his rest, which is a believing. Because some people will just take the easiest route and let God, kumbaya, Jesus, whatever. Whatever will be, I'll let it fall in my lap. It don't work that way, child of God. It don't work that way, child of God. You have to get aggressive with the things of God. The kingdom of God suffereth violent, and the violent taketh by force. You got to be, wait a minute, this is on my receipt. I'm going to believe for it, so I'm going to pursue it. I'm going to obtain it by faith. And that means you got to get in the word. You just can't say, well, I went to church last month. Twice. Ooh, it should be good enough. That's not enough. That's not enough. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to direct you. That's like saying, I should be in shape. I have a membership card at a gym. You're paying every month for those automatic dues. I should be healthy and in shape. I'm a member of a gym. You might be a member and still out of shape. Someone say amen. And then just look to the person next to you. You don't have to take it. See, when you get quiet, you're making yourself look guilty. Let me help you out. If you're new to the church world, when you get quiet, that just looks like you're under conviction. So if you're under conviction, that's okay. Repent real quick, but get loud. Say, yes, preacher. Teach Jesus. These people need to hear this stuff. And you know you're the one doing it. But just because you have a membership card at a gym doesn't mean you're in shape. No, you have to take, well, I worked out last month. Well, good for you. How many people know it takes more than just one workout a month? Well, I don't think that's even fair. Shouldn't be that way. I think one workout should be enough to keep me in shape. I got a friend, and they don't ever work out, eat what they want. And they're skinny. Well, give it time. Time will have a way of dealing with that. I've had friends like that too. The time has a way of dealing with that. One day they're going to have to learn. Can I get an amen? But that's not fair. I just think reading one chapter ever so often should be enough. Well, you can, but if your teeth are getting kicked in all the time, maybe you want to up your appetite. I work out every day and I'm not growing enough. It's because you're not eating enough. Watch these guys that are Mr. Olympia. Watch these professional athletes in the Olympics. I remember the one swimmer who kept on winning gold. He was having to eat 8,000 to 10,000 calories a day. Yep. Can you imagine? Some of us like, I just one day, Jesus, just give me one day. I think I can go to the right restaurant and get enough, knock that out in one meal. We got to increase our appetite.
Yes.
These guys with giant muscles, and there's some of them around here that compete. Hear me, it's just not a matter of training, it's also about eating. They learn that they got to eat enough good calories. See, if I'm eating junk food all the time and one day a week I eat a salad, it's not going to work, is it?
Right.
So if I'm listening to junk food in my spirit all week and then I get 30 minutes to an hour of the word,
right, it
won't work. Maybe you need a little more.
Right.
Now don't feel guilty. Between you and Jesus, I love you either way. So does God.
Right.
But I haven't come just to love you. I've come to see you kick the devil's teeth in.
Amen.
I've come to see you make a difference in your generation.
Yeah.
I've come to see you shine as a light and have all that God wants you to have and be all that God wants you to be and do all that God wants you to do. Not competing and comparing. Amen.
Amen.
So grow into a full experience. The key to our next season is not a calendar. It's not a clock. The key to our next season is the transformational truth of God's word.
Amen.
The key to your next season, what God has for you, it's the transformational truth of God's word.
Amen.
It starts with the heart. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the heart man what?
Believe.
With the heart man what?
Believe.
Matthew 13, read that chapter. We had it down, but I'm not going to quote it. Matthew 13, the whole chapter, or there's a section of parable about the seed being sown, the seed being the word of God. And the goal for the seed to produce any change is that it had to get into the ground. And for the seed to get into the ground, it had to have understanding. And that's not just mental understanding. See, if you can understand it mentally, you can teach it and explain it, but you can never obtain it. There's something more. That's why 1 Corinthians says that the things of God, that the natural man, the carnal man, the natural mental intellect of man, it does not make sense to him. He'll think it's foolish. Why? Because it must be discerned. That means revealed. It's getting quiet. We all know people who can quote the Bible, but have no life and no power.
Right.
Because it's up here in their head. And you should have it. I mean, this is a starting point. You need to hear the word. You need to read the word. You need to know the word. But if all it is mental information to you, you're missing out because there's a spiritual component to it. There's a power side to it that comes from the Holy Spirit revealing the word. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to us and our children.
Yes.
God reveals them. Who do you say I am? Jesus said to the disciples. And Simon said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One. And he said, Simon Bar-Jonah, I'm not changing your name to Petros, which is Peter, which is representing the rock. Because this information you have is not just something you heard from flesh and blood or people, but you've received it from my Father. It's a revelation. Say revelation. One of my goals in my ministry is to get people to follow the revelation of the Word of God, not the information of the Word. If you're following ideas, you are carrying a weight. Some of us have been in churches that way. They'll tell us everything we need to do and everything we shouldn't do, and all we are doing is following a checklist of somebody else. Now listen to me. I'm not saying that they're wrong or bad people. I'm saying there is a better way. Because if I'm trying to live the next level in my past abilities, I'm going to be exhausted or fail.
Right.
Have you ever met somebody that they're living, it looks like they're doing the right thing, but there's no life. They're exhausted. It's a burden.
Yeah.
That's my issue with religion. That's what the Pharisees and Sadducees were doing. Jesus showed up and said, listen, you take them from the bondage of the wicked and darkness, and by the time you get done with them, they're worse off than they were before.
Yeah.
Because they imprisoned them with all of the confinement and weights of obligation and expectation. Does God not expect me to do good? Yes, God wants you to do good, but you have to understand, with the revelation comes the grace or the power, the ability to do it. With the revelation comes the desire to do it. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll, I feel this in my spirit. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean that if you delight yourself in God, he'll give you everything that you want as a desire. That's not what's being said, even though God can and will meet your desires. Can I get an amen? God doesn't mind you having stuff. He just doesn't want stuff to have you. The verse actually better said this way, delight yourself in God and he'll place his desires in your heart. Why do I believe that? Because the next verse says, commit your works to him. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. Bring it to pass. Bring it to pass. Bring what to pass? What he's placed in your heart is a desire. See, the Christian life without the presence of God, without the power of God, without the grace of God is exhausting. And we've all known people, and some of us, many of us, have lived through it. And we're like, God, this is too hard. Of course, that's the point. He raised the bar to let you know you cannot do it without him. Without me, he said, I'm the vine, you're the branch. Without me, you cannot do anything. He didn't lower the bar, he raised the bar because he wanted you to know without him, without the anointed one and his anointing, without the truth of the word, without the presence of God, you cannot do anything.
Right. Right.
And yet we have churches filled with people striving and failing and get exhausted. And so they legalize everything and they act a certain way. They fake it till you make it, and they look the part on Sunday and live a different life on Monday because they know they can't do it, but they don't want to tell anybody that. They don't want to feel bad or look bad. So, oh yeah, I got it down. I do this. Listen, when people brag to you about how much Bible they read, how much they pray, it's probably not true. Or they're a newbie in it. When people have to brag to you what they've accomplished, something's wrong. I've had people come up in the first 5 minutes. Oh, I mean, the church is all. I was like, I'm not hiring. Why are you? Is this a resume? How did I go from greeting you to a job interview? You don't want to be rude to people, but it's like, this is not really the time and the place. What's wrong? They are trying to validate what they don't believe in themselves, trying to get you to believe something that they know is not true. Listen, I don't need to validate anything. I let the Word and the Holy Spirit do that. Amen. That's between you and Jesus. You're like, I don't know if I like it. Well, I love you. You can, you know, I mean, you're welcome to go to any church. There's a lot of them. And I want you to know we love people if they come or go. But I'm not going to sit and call you and try to promote myself. That's not my game. That's not my style. I'm just going to love Jesus, help people, love people. And it is what it is. And we're just going to celebrate the goodness of God with who God has called us to be part of. And we're going to see lives being changed. Can I get amen? Amen. Or like a tag phrase that we just came out, the Lord gave us a few weeks ago. There's oil in the streets. Amen. Say there's oil in the streets. Come on, say there's oil in the streets. And if you are not part of, side note, if you're not a part of what God's doing at Hope Church, we love that you come. We'd like to have you be a part, because there are literally, I'm not promoting, there is oil. We're seeing people get saved, delivered, healed, ministered to, the amazing, fed. We're working on. We're working on having the very first grocery store that's free. Almost done. Almost done. So there's oil in the streets. Why? I just figure whatever the devil's going to try, we're going to smack him in the face over it.
Yeah.
Right? If he's going to try to cause food prices to go up, and they're even saying, oh, food shortages. Oh, yeah? Well, according to my word, according to the Bible that you have, it says that even in the days of famine, God will give you plenty.
Amen.
And what's the best way to demonstrate plenty is that give it away, give it away, give it away, give it away. Right?
Yep.
That's a cool testimony.
Yes.
We're not going to take one piece of pie and slice it up a small. Now, just take a small bite. We got to get this. No, we're believing for supernatural plenty. So we give it away, give it away. And that's just not, I mean, all different facets of ministry. In fact, let me fill this up. Media team, you think I'm talking to heaven. I'm really talking to another group of people. Media team, do you have that picture? Throw it up on the screen. Let me show you what this is. This is cool. It'll come up in a few seconds. 3, 2, 1. Well, it's almost, that's a beautiful picture. They'll get it. It's okay. While they're getting it, let me give you some heads up. So for those who don't know, this is something my dad, who's in heaven now, passed away in 2000. But, okay, I'll explain that picture. Just, you can keep it up there, right there. So right now it might not make sense, but it will in a minute. So started a work in the Philippines. Literally took a guy out of the field that wanted to be in full-time ministry but couldn't afford it. And we started, and this is back in the 70s, I guess, and we began to pay for his salary for 2 years and give him an opportunity to do ministry. And then we stop and then do it for somebody else. And then they do it and it keeps going. And at any given time, I mean, we've had up to 200 Hope churches in the Philippines. So Pastor Jesse, who's our national director over there, he's the one I deal with. I talk to him on a regular basis, usually weekly. And I typically go there every year and a half. But with the restrictions of flight and international flight, it's kind of hindered that. So it's been a couple years since I've been there. But he's got his church, the main church over there in San Pedro Laguna. And then we have 10 other pastors below him with their churches. And then they have pastors below them. So that's the organizational structure. So I minister and deal with and pray with and talk to Pastor Jesse. Now, the reason, Pastor Jesse's the one over to the left. And the Philippines, they are still locked down. They're just now released. They're just starting to back away from masks and starting to open things up just this past week. Okay, so the world's been dealing with all this stuff with COVID and everything else. So that's him to the left, and he's praying. Now, you might be wondering, what's the big deal? Who he's praying for? They have elections. Their government and constitution is pretty much based after ours because of what we did historically to set them free in war. And so they're getting ready. They're going through all their election stuff like we do. And they have different people running for president. And the person that is in lead is carrying over 60% on the polls a vote. The second person is carrying 18% of the poll. So there's a pretty good defined winner here based on polls. He was contacted and he was asked two things. He was asked to lead head up for this particular group, the Christian Organization of Churches, to be the head person that deals with all the other Christian pastors of all the other Christian churches, which is like 11,000 of them in the Philippines. Now, the person he's praying for, he was also asked to come to a special meeting and lay his hands on and pray and prophesy over this person. So he is praying that the guy to the right, as it looks right now, will be the next president of the Philippines. And in the video they sent me, he prays for him and then begins to prophesy and speak the word. What am I saying? There's oil in the streets. God's doing something.
Amen.
That's a national level influence when the particular party calls and wants you to come pray for the potential next president. Amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. There we can stop the picture. Shout, there's oil in the streets. I'm excited about what God is doing. Anytime the devil tries to rile up his head, instead of us being intimidated, why don't we rise up and say, okay, if you're going to do that, welcome to the party.
Right.
That's what David did. Oh, you're going to feed my body to the birds? Well, how about this? I'm going to feed your body to the birds and all your friends that you brought. Revelation not only informs us, but transforms us. That's the key. Revelation of the word is the transformational truth. People are like, oh, I know the truth. No, you know what you think to be the truth. John 8, verse 31, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That is the freedom of God. That's a freedom to the next level. God's truth is transformational. That's what I want you to see. As you continue in the word, as you're reading the word, as you're hearing the word, as you're obeying the word, as you're speaking the word, as you're doing the word, when revelation comes, it brings truth. That's what revelation is. It's truth.
Right.
And with truth is transformation. Say, with truth is transformation.
Amen.
Say with me this way. Say, when I receive truth,
I
can't stay the same.
See,
that's why you need to keep pursuing until you get truth. Because it's the truth that you obey. It's not the thing that you do. If you're doing it without truth, you are wasting your energy. Listen to me, church. I love you. And it doesn't matter if you're praying for people, tithing, serving, feeding people. Without truth, it's just a nice thing. But with truth, it's a transformational thing.
Yes.
You can pray every morning, but without truth, it's a good thing. But with truth, it's a powerful thing. There's a lot of Christians, church world, that are doing good things and not seeing any results because they're doing the good thing. And though it might look like the powerful thing, what's missing is the truth, the transformational truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free because the truth gives you revelation. The truth shows you what to do. The truth empowers you to do it. The truth gives you the right desire. The truth, and you shall know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The transformational truth of God's word. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night that you may observe to do. The truth will show you what to do. that you may observe to do all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Transformational truth. The truth transforms us. Or you could say it this way, grows us into his image. Last verse, Mark chapter 1, verse 17. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me. Other translation says, follow me. Say, follow me.
Follow me.
Say, follow me.
Follow me.
He told the disciples, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. Look at the emphasis here. Follow me. And Jesus is the word. Follow me. Follow me. And I, this is important. Stay with me. We're at the end of this. Don't stop now. Don't pull up your easy chair and miss the end of the race. They made it to the last mile, and then they stopped. Don't stop now. Follow it. Say, follow me.
Follow me.
That's your part. Say, my part is to follow the word. Come on, talk to me. I'm going to work you at the end. We're going to end. Say, my part is to follow. Follow the word. Follow the truth. Follow the transformation and revelation that's been revealed to you from the word, right, by the Spirit of God. To follow. Say, my part's to follow. Jesus said, follow me, and he's the word. John 1:1. Follow me, and I will make you, what? To the disciples, fishers of men. I will make you into the destiny you've designed to be.
Yes.
I will cause you to become. You know what we do? We do it this way. This is how we read it, because we live it this way. And what you do is more important than what you say, because you can say one thing and do something totally different. And we say this, we say, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. We say it this way, I'll follow you, Lord, and you'll make me fishers of men. But then when we get out in the world on Monday, we say, I'll follow you and I'll make myself a fisher. I'll follow and then I will make it. Why? How do I know that? Because we get intimidated, overwhelmed, and exhausted. Why? Because we're trying to do all the making.
Right. All right.
When God just asks you to do the following.
Yeah.
I want to free somebody up here. Do you catch the difference? There's still something you need to do. James says, faith without works is dead.
Right.
Where do you get the works to do? We just read it from the revelation of the word of God and the truth. Study my word, continue my word, that you may observe, that you may see what to do. All he's asking you to do, let me free you up, child of God. You don't have to do the 20 steps from the last book you read.
Yeah.
All you have to do is follow what he shows you to do.
Amen.
And people will come to you. It's a tactic of the devil. Oh, you need to do this. And it sounds good, but if it's not in your heart, not your spirit, just say thank you.
Yeah.
Who are you going to follow? Because if you follow your idea, then you have to make it work. If I follow his idea, it's up to him to make it work. Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference? This should be liberating, because we don't have to try to become successful. You're already, success is a part of your identity within Christ. But it's like, I'm just trying. It doesn't mean you sleep in every day. There's hard work to be done.
That's right.
But it's because you're following.
Yes.
You're following.
Yes.
Say, I'm following.
Wow.
Come on, say, I'm following. Don't worry about anybody else. Say, I'm following.
I'm following.
And I'll leave the rest up to Jesus.
Rest up to Jesus.
Isn't that Romans 4? Abraham, fully persuaded that the God who made the promise, he is well able. He is well able. He is well able. He is well. Leave her alone. He is well able. He is well able. Shout, he is well able. See, you're trying to make it. You're trying to force it. It's the human side of us that's trying to make it work, that's trying to fix it and force it, and I'm just going to figure it out. And there's times in our lives that we cannot figure it out. And you have to be comfortable sometimes in the place of ambiguity when all you look around and see darkness and no light, and you know that I'm going to follow the light of the truth of the word, for his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light on my path, and he will make it work out.
Amen.
He makes all things work together for good to them who love him and who are called according to his purpose. See, I'm in a relationship with him, so as I spend time in the word, he's revealing what I need today. And as I just simply obey, it might not be where you're at. You might be at a whole nother level. You might be way ahead of me, but that's okay. That's okay. I just got to the gym for the first time. You might have been training every day for 6 years, 16 years. I can't do your workout, but if I keep doing it, if I keep doing it, do you see the process? If I keep doing all I need to do is the steps he shows me. I just need to walk it. I might not be able to run on water, but I'm going to walk on water. I might not be able to walk on water, but maybe I can stand on water. I might not be able to stand on water, but I can get close and watch him do it. I don't know, wherever you're at in the journey, don't be in bondage or condemnation by the devil. You have to walk this out. I'm freeing you because it is truly a supernatural, incredible life when you begin to live beyond your ability, because you know it's not you that has to make it or keep it. God said, I will bless you. And I'll add no sorrows to it, because when the world gets ahead, listen to me, church, when the world becomes successful, when the sinners become rich, when the sinners become famous, when the sinners become in positions of influence, do you know what they deal with? They're going to take it from me. But your word says that God will not add any sorrow to it. You do it God's way.
Amen.
He'll not add any sorrow to it. And you'll be able to quote the scripture that the God, that he will keep me in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him, which means he'll keep, sustain, and protect my mind, body, and state in perfect harmony, balance, and peace. And you can say, Father, I thank you this morning that there's dogs and wolves outside my gate trying to get to me, destroy my reputation. I feel this for somebody. Destroy my name, destroy my career, destroy my job. They're trying to take it from me. They're trying to do everything to talk bad about me, to ruin my reputation. But I thank you that you are my God. You are my God. You are my God. And I step into you, and you are my tower of strength. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus said unto them, come unto me. Follow me, and let's leave the burden where it's supposed to be. It's on Jesus. What do we do? We just simply obey.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. I'm done. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise if you would. If you'd be so kind and bow your head and close your eyes, no one looking around, no one moving around. This is a very important part of the service. If you're here today and don't have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I am not into all the stuff of things you have to jump through. I'm into a real relationship with Jesus Christ. In the way you process and the way you experience, only you know for yourself. Is Jesus Christ real to you in a way that you know for yourself that he's real and your Lord and Savior? Only you can answer that. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to lead you in a prayer in a few seconds. If you say, Pastor, I've never heard the gospel. God sent his son to die on the cross for my sins. And on the third day, he was buried for me and rose again for me so that I can know him, so I could be forgiven of all sins, so I can go to heaven and not hell. Absolutely. And so much, so much more. You don't have to live with that condemnation. You don't have to live with that bondage. Some of you carry the weight of your past sins and decisions and mistakes and choices, and you've literally almost made them like a badge of embarrassment that you have to live with to punish yourself. Jesus took the punishment of sin on himself so that you could be free from that, so you don't have to live with that. This is your day. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you do not know Jesus and want to know him, pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me. Say, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen. Now look up here, church. If you prayed that prayer, I just want to actually bless you with one more prayer, but I want to know who I'm praying with. And that second prayer comes from the Word of God, that he would give you strength in the inner person by his Holy Spirit. You know, we need in this last days, and we are in the last of the last days, We can't just do it on our own disciplines. We need God's strength. We need his ability to stand up against sin, to do not only what's right, but to make a difference in our world. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I don't believe God's... Our goal is not to get you in here so you feel comfortable and we pat you on the back and tell you it's going to be okay and send you out for another a beating during the week so you can come back and clean you up and say it's going to be okay. Hang in there. We're going to eventually get there. No. And I want you to be good people. I want you to be moral people. But if that's my top standard, I think I'm missing something. I feel like I'm doing you an injustice. My goal is for you to have what God wants you to have and do what God wants you to do and change a generation. When you go to heaven one day, and you better be at heaven, or I'll come down to hell and smack you an extra. You're like, it's so hard. Wait till I get down there. I'm going to double kick you right in the face. That you will have left a mark that cannot be denied in the lives of people of what God has done in and through your life.
Amen.
That's what it's all about for me. It's to honor God and impact our neighbors, our family, and our friends. With the goodness of God.
Yeah.
But I want to, so my thought is, if you prayed that prayer, I just want to know who I was praying with. At the count of three, and some of you are like, I'm a little shy, that's okay. We're going to celebrate, and we still want you to raise your hand, because it's a good starting point. If it's hard to raise your hand in a service where people are clapping for you, how hard is it to do it out in the public when they're trying to talk you to do things you know is wrong? In fact, I don't want you to raise your hand. We're going to raise the bar a little bit. I want you to stand to your feet and just stay standing. How's that? So if you were nervous about raising your hand, welcome to the party. You keep arguing with Jesus, and he tells me, I'm going to have you spin it. No, I'm joking. But at the count of three, if you prayed that prayer, you know Jesus answered that prayer, and you've given your heart to the Lord. I want you, now some of you are quick, so I want you to move and be bold so the shy people have a little confidence. But I want you to stand to your feet at the count of three. One, don't look around, just look. Two, three, stand on your feet right now if you prayed that prayer. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, there's still some more. Nine, thank you, sir. 10. 11. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, church, keep clapping. 12, 13, 14, hallelujah. 15, God bless you. Amen. Shout, there's oil in the streets. First of all, stay standing. And let me just tell you, God bless you. We are so excited for what God's doing in your life. Are you listening to me? The best is yet to come. This is awesome. This is amazing. But this is the beginning of that relationship and all that God wants to do in your life and through your life. Amen. And we're a family. You didn't realize it. You didn't realize it, but we're family now. We're in the family of God. Amen. So church, stretch your hands towards your family. Father, in the name of Jesus, those who are standing, we want to thank you that today you've touched them and they've accepted you as your Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving them right now. And Father, we seal them with the precious blood of Jesus. And I ask you, according to your word, that you would strengthen them with might by your Holy Spirit in their inner person, that they'd be strong in the Lord and the power of your might, and that they would know that life is about you, Jesus, and living the life you called them to live and to make a difference like you've called them to make. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you, Father. And everyone shouted,
amen.
You may be seated. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.